Thank you for listening to the Utica Phoenix Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into President Biden's last minute $2.5 billion defense assistance package for Ukraine just weeks before President-elect Trump takes office.
Right.
Why such a massive aid package now with a new administration about to step in?
Wow.
Is there more to it than meets the eye?
Yeah, I think
so.
So what's fascinating here is that this isn't just a financial gesture. We're talking about a massive transfer of military hardware, hundreds of thousands of artillery rounds.
Wow.
Thousands of rockets, hundreds of armored vehicles, all heading to Ukraine in a very short time frame.
That's a serious show of support. You're saying this goes beyond just writing a check.
Absolutely.
What kind of impact do you think this hardware will have on the ground?
Well, this package is clearly designed to give Ukraine a significant boost in firepower. For example, you've probably heard a lot about Javelin missiles. They've been incredibly effective against Russian tanks. This package includes thousands more Javelins and AT-4 anti-armor systems, as well as TOW missiles, ensuring Ukraine has plenty to keep up the pressure. And it's not just about defense. This aid package includes a significant amount of artillery rounds and rockets, that's likely. A direct response to intelligence reports suggesting Russians planning a major offensive in the Donbas region.
So this is about enabling Ukraine to go on the offensive, potentially changing the course of the war.
It's certainly possible. The influx of heavy weaponry could give Ukrainian forces the edge they need to push back against Russian advances and reclaim lost territory. But it's important to remember that the battlefield situation is constantly evolving, and there are many other factors at play.
This brings us to the elephant in the room, the timing. Biden is on his way out. Why not leave this decision to the incoming administration? Some might argue that this is just a symbolic gesture. How would you respond to that?
It's certainly a move that raises eyebrows. This final package exhausts the remaining funds allocated by Congress back in April, meaning President-elect Trump won't have a readily available pool of money to continue this level of aid. Without congressional approval, this package could be seen as Biden trying to cement his legacy of supporting Ukraine and potentially influence the early stages of Trump's foreign policy.
It's no secret that President-elect Trump has expressed skepticism about U.S. involvement in the conflict and has indicated a desire to pursue a negotiated peace.
You think Biden is trying to tie his hands, so to speak? It's possible. Biden has consistently emphasized unwavering support for Ukraine. By providing this aid now, he's signaling a commitment to Ukraine's defense. Regardless of who occupies the Oval Office, this could make it more politically difficult for the incoming administration to abruptly cut off aid or pressure Ukraine into accepting unfavorable peace terms. Remember, this isn't just about military hardware itself. It's also about sending a message to Russia, and perhaps even more importantly, to America's allies. It reinforces the idea that the U.S. stands with Ukraine.
And what about the practical implications of this aid? How does this impact Ukraine's budget? You mentioned that this package exhausts the funds Congress allocated earlier this year.
And we know Ukraine has been overspending its military budget significantly, relying heavily on international support, with the U.S. being the biggest contributor.
Yeah.
This latest package, while not a long-term solution,
will provide some much-needed breathing room, allowing Ukraine to continue its defense efforts without immediate financial constraints.
So it buys them time. But what happens after that? That's a big question mark. A lot depends on the new administration's approach. Will they seek to replenish those funds? Will they push for greater burden sharing with European allies? Will they change the nature of the aid, perhaps focusing more on humanitarian assistance rather than military hardware? These are all questions that will need to be answered in the coming weeks and months. But beyond the financial aspect, let's not forget the $1.22 billion allocated through the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative.
Right, you mentioned that earlier. What exactly is that initiative, and why is it significant?
The Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative allows the U.S. to buy brand new equipment directly from manufacturers, ensuring Ukraine gets the latest technology. This package will include things like HIMARS, ammunition, those highly effective rocket systems we've been hearing about, along with drones, optically guided missiles, and all sorts of other advanced weaponry. It's a signal that the U.S. is serious about helping Ukraine defend itself with cutting-edge technology.
It sounds like a bold move by the Biden administration. But what about Zelensky's response? How has he reacted to this last-minute aid boost?
Well, while Zelensky expressed gratitude for the aid, he also questioned why this level of support wasn't provided sooner. He's been consistently and publicly calling for more assistance, particularly advanced weaponry, for months. It seems there's a sense of frustration, perhaps even a bit of bitterness, that it took this long.
That's understandable, given the immense pressure he and his country are under. And what about the Trump-Vance transition team? How have they responded to this move?
Well, they've been emphasizing Trump's goal to quickly negotiate peace in Ukraine and have also called for European nations to increase their NATO contributions, suggesting a shift in U.S. policy towards a more hands-off approach and a greater emphasis on burden sharing with allies.
So a potential clash of priorities on the horizon.
It seems likely. The Biden administration is making a strong statement of support for Ukraine in its final days, while the incoming Trump administration is signaling a desire to change course. This raises a lot of questions about what the next few months will hold for Ukraine and the broader geopolitical landscape.
Absolutely. This aid package seems to be more than just a routine shipment of military equipment. It feels like a strategic move with potential long-term consequences.
Yeah.
What do you think from your perspective are the biggest implications of this aid package?
From my perspective, one of the most significant implications is the message it sends to Russia, despite a new administration on the horizon, potentially with a different approach. The U.S. is signaling that its commitment to Ukraine's defense remains strong, at least for now. This could make Russia think twice about escalating the conflict, knowing that Ukraine has powerful backing.
You mentioned burden sharing a couple of times. The Trump-Vance transition team has emphasized that European nations need to step up and contribute more. Do you think that's realistic?
It's a complex issue. European nations have increased their support since the invasion began, both in terms of military aid and humanitarian assistance, but they also face their own economic and security concerns, and many are hesitant to provoke Russia further. It's unlikely they'll be able to match the level of support the U.S. has provided, especially given the sheer scale of this latest package.
That we have a situation where the outgoing administration is doubling down on support for Ukraine, while the incoming administration is signaling a potential shift in policy. What does this mean for the Ukrainian people? Caught in the middle of this geopolitical tug of war.
It creates a lot of uncertainty for them. They've endured so much already, and now they face the prospect of a U.S. policy shift that could leave them vulnerable. It's worth noting that the Trump-Vance transition team has also emphasized their commitment to negotiating peace. But what kind of peace? And on whose terms? These are the questions that must be weighing heavily on the minds of Ukrainians.
Peace is the ultimate goal, of course. But achieving a lasting and just peace is incredibly complex. What do you think are the key factors we should be watching for as the Trump administration takes office, it begins to implement its foreign policy agenda?
There are several key things to watch. First, will President-elect Trump follow through on his campaign promise to quickly end the war? And if so, what concessions will he be willing to accept or perhaps even demand from Ukraine? Will he maintain the current level of military support, albeit with a greater emphasis on burden sharing? Or will he seek to scale it back significantly? And how will he engage with Russia? Will he pursue a more conciliatory approach, potentially lifting sanctions?
He has expressed admiration for Putin in the past.
All right.
Is there a risk that the Trump administration might be too accommodating to Russia's interests at the expense of Ukraine's sovereignty?
That's certainly a concern, voiced by many analysts. A softer stance towards Russia could embolden Putin and undermine Ukraine's position in any negotiations. On the other hand, Trump has also shown a willingness to use military force when he deems it necessary. It's a wild card situation, and predicting how he will approach the conflict with any certainty is nearly impossible.
So what does all this mean for the future of the conflict itself? We know Russia has made significant territorial gains this year. Will this aid package be enough to shift the balance of power on the battlefield? Or is it more about buying time and bolstering Ukraine's defenses in the face of a potentially turbulent period ahead?
It's difficult to say for certain. The battlefield situation is dynamic and influenced by countless factors. However, this aid package, with its focus on heavy weaponry and advanced technology, has the potential to significantly enhance Ukraine's defensive capabilities. It could deter further Russian advances and even allow Ukraine to launch counteroffensives to reclaim lost territory. But it's important to remember that this aid is a finite resource.
Right, we're back to the question of sustainability. Even with this substantial boost, Ukraine's long-term ability to resist Russian aggression hinges on continued international support.
Exactly. This aid package is a significant development, but it's not a solution in itself. It's a piece of a much larger and more complex puzzle.
This deep dive has really highlighted the interconnectedness of global politics and the challenges of navigating such a complex and volatile landscape. You've provided some truly insightful analysis. What stands out to you most about this situation?
For me, it's the uncertainty that hangs over everything. The unpredictability of the incoming administration, the ongoing military operations, the economic strain on all parties involved, and of course, the immense human suffering all create a sense of unease.
I agree. The human cost of this conflict cannot be overstated. Millions of Ukrainians have been displaced, lives have been lost, and the physical and psychological scars will linger for generations. It's a sobering reminder of the fragility of peace and the devastating consequences of conflict. It's a stark reminder that while we analyze the political and strategic implications, there are real people whose lives are being profoundly affected by the decisions made in the halls of power.
We can't lose sight of the human dimension of this conflict. Every statistic represents a life disrupted, a family torn apart, a future shrouded in uncertainty. It underscores the importance of diplomacy and the pursuit of peaceful solutions.
This aid package, while significant, might only be the beginning of a new chapter in this ongoing saga. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's an astute observation. This aid package provides some immediate relief and a potential deterrent. But the long-term outlook remains unclear. The incoming administration's approach, the evolving dynamics on the battlefield, and the willingness of all parties to engage in meaningful dialogue will all play a crucial role in shaping the future of this conflict.
It sounds like we're entering a period of heightened uncertainty.
Precisely.
With potential for both escalation and de-escalation. It's a situation that demands close attention and careful analysis.
Decisions made in the coming weeks and months will have far-reaching consequences, not just for Ukraine and Russia, but for the broader international order.
Well, you provided our listeners with a lot to think about. It's been a fascinating, albeit somewhat unsettling, deep dive into the complexities of international relations and the human cost of conflict. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
The world is watching, and the stakes are incredibly high. Let's hope that cooler heads prevail, and that a path to peace can be found, one that respects Ukraine's sovereignty and ensures the safety and security of its people.
A sentiment we can all echo. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us today.
My pleasure.
It's been truly enlightening. And to our listeners, if you enjoyed our deep dive, subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss future episodes. We'll continue to bring you in-depth analysis and thought-provoking discussions on a wide range of topics. Until next time, stay curious.
This raises a lot of questions about what the next few months will hold for Ukraine and the broader geopolitical landscape.
Absolutely. This aid package seems to be more than just a routine shipment of military equipment. It feels like a strategic move with potential long-term consequences. What do you think from your perspective?
What are the biggest implications of this aid package? From my perspective, one of the most significant implications is the message it sends to Russia. Despite a new administration on the horizon, potentially with a different approach, the U.S. is signaling that its commitment to Ukraine's defense remains strong, at least for now. This could make Russia think twice about escalating the conflict, knowing that Ukraine has powerful backing.
You mentioned burden sharing.
Yeah.
A couple of times. The Trump-Vance transition team has emphasized that European nations need to step up and contribute more. Do you think that's realistic?
It's a complex issue. European nations have increased their support since the invasion began, both in terms of military aid and humanitarian assistance. But they also face their own economic and security concerns. And many are hesitant to provoke Russia further. It's unlikely they'll be able to match the level of support the U.S. has provided, especially given the sheer scale of this.
So we have a situation where the outgoing administration is doubling down on support for Ukraine, while the incoming administration is signaling a potential shift in policy.
Right.
What does this mean for the Ukrainian people caught in the middle of this geopolitical tug of war?
It creates a lot of uncertainty for them. They've endured so much already, and now they face the prospect of a U.S. policy shift that could leave them vulnerable. It's worth noting that the Trump-Vance transition team has also emphasized their commitment to negotiating peace. But what kind of peace and on whose terms? These are the questions that must be weighing heavily on the minds of Ukrainians.
Peace, the ultimate goal, of course. But achieving a lasting and just peace is incredibly complex. What do you think are the key factors we should be watching for as the Trump administration takes office and begins to implement its foreign policy agenda?
There are several key things to watch. First, will President-elect Trump follow through on his campaign promise to quickly end the war? And if so, what concessions will he be willing to accept or perhaps even demand from Ukraine? Will he maintain the current level of military support, albeit with a greater emphasis on burden sharing? Or will he seek to scale it back significantly? And how will he engage with Russia? Will he pursue a more conciliatory approach, potentially lifting sanctions?
He has expressed admiration for Putin in the past. Is there a risk that a Trump administration might be too accommodating to Russia's interests at the expense of Ukraine's sovereignty?
That's certainly a concern voiced by many analysts. A softer stance towards Russia could embolden Putin and undermine Ukraine's position in any negotiations. On the other hand, Trump has also shown a willingness to use military force when he deems it necessary. It's a wild card situation, and predicting how he will approach the conflict with any certainty is nearly impossible.
So what does all this mean for the future of the conflict itself? We know Russia has made significant territorial gains this year. Will this aid package be enough to shift the balance of power on the battlefield? Or is it more about buying time and bolstering Ukraine's defenses in the face of a potentially turbulent period ahead?
It's difficult to say for certain. The battlefield situation is dynamic and influenced by countless factors. However, this aid package, with its focus on heavy weaponry and advanced technology, has the potential to significantly enhance Ukraine's defensive capabilities. It could deter further Russian advances and even allow Ukraine to launch counteroffensives to reclaim lost territory. But it's important to remember that this aid is a finite resource.
Right. And we're back to the question of sustainability. Right. Even with this substantial boost, Ukraine's long-term ability to resist Russian aggression hinges on continued international support.
Exactly. This aid package is a significant development, but it's not a solution in itself. It's a piece of a much larger and more complex puzzle.
This deep dive has really highlighted the interconnectedness of global politics and the challenges of navigating such a complex and volatile landscape. You've provided some truly insightful analysis. What stands out to you most about this situation?
For me, it's the uncertainty that hangs over everything. The unpredictability of the incoming administration, the ongoing military operations, the economic strain on all parties involved, and of course, the immense human suffering all create a sense of unease.
I agree. The human cost of this conflict cannot be overstated. Millions of Ukrainians have been displaced, lives have been lost, and the psychological scars will linger for generations. It's a sobering reminder of the fragility of peace and the devastating consequences of conflict. It's a stark reminder that while we analyze the political and strategic implications, there are real people whose lives are being profoundly affected by the decisions made in the halls of power.
We can't lose sight of the human dimension of this conflict. Every statistic represents a life disrupted, a family torn apart, a future shrouded in uncertainty. It underscores the importance of diplomacy and the pursuit of peaceful solutions.
This aid package, while significant,
might
only be the beginning of a new chapter in this ongoing saga.
I think that's an astute observation.
What are your thoughts on that?
This aid package provides some immediate relief and a potential deterrent, but the long-term outlook remains unclear. The incoming administration's approach, the evolving dynamics on the battlefield, and the willingness of all parties to engage in meaningful dialogue will all play a crucial role in shaping the future of this conflict.
It sounds like we're entering a period of heightened uncertainty.
Precisely.
With potential for both escalation and de-escalation.
Yeah.
It's a situation that demands close attention and careful analysis.
The decisions made in the coming weeks and months will have far-reaching consequences, not just for Ukraine and Russia, but for the broader international order.
Well, you've provided our listeners with a lot to think about. It's been a fascinating, albeit somewhat unsettling, deep dive into the complexities of international relations and the human cost of conflict. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
The world is watching, and the stakes are incredibly high. Let's hope that cooler heads prevail, and that a path to peace can be found, one that respects Ukraine's sovereignty and ensures the safety and security of its people.
A sentiment we can all echo. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us today.
My pleasure.
It's been truly enlightening. And to our listeners, if you enjoyed our deep dive, subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss future episodes. We'll continue to bring you in-depth analysis and thought-provoking discussions on a wide range of topics. Until next time, stay curious.